Phoenix Down Radio is on the air. With your hosts,
Klaus Nightbringer,
Sarah Timono,
Chili,
and Luna Vox.
Welcome everybody to another special episode of Phoenix Down Radio. How is everybody tonight?
Doing good, doing good.
Wasn't completely distracted by the amazing new intro.
I hope you guys all like that. I spent the last week or so working with that to kind of spruce up the show a little bit and hopefully make it a little bit more interesting for those watching the video. It won't be much change for if you're listening on the podcast, but like I said, if you want to see what this is all about, the YouTube video will be out in about a day after the live show here, but come join us live sometime at twitch.tv/phoenixdownradio. We normally go every other Saturday night, but because there's just so much goddamn information to talk about, we're doing another special show tonight. So,
yeah, there's
yeah, wait, well, wait. We should make Chili stay up again.
Yes. We should make the Chili stay up all night long.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you know what? Before we get started, as a kind of as a tribute to our old Minnesota picture, I'm Weird Al Lunovich now. Thank you.
Oh God, Luna. Luna.
What? I had to dress my part according to you.
I couldn't remember what you looked like.
Well, guess what? Now the picture's real. So there you go.
So we had a live letter.
Wait, we also did. Got someone dancing in the background.
Yes. Well, okay. It wasn't so much as a live letter as it was a live, I don't know what you would call that, like a live novel?
Yeah.
A live encyclopedia?
Live trilogy.
A live Library of Congress.
It was long. It was long.
4 hours long. That was Yoshi wasn't wrong. There was a lot of shit to talk about.
Yeah, there was.
I didn't get to pay attention to the whole thing, and I missed some of the more salty things at the end, apparently. Well, we'll talk about them.
Shame.
Yes. I want to thank the subreddit, the FFXIV subreddit, for a lot of the information we got on this. There was a Google document that I found there, so thank you to whoever put that together. It's greatly appreciated and made our life a lot easier to kind of drill down to the really important parts that we're going to talk about, because we don't want to sit here for 4 more hours.
No, thank you.
We want to try and get to the important stuff, and the reason we're doing this episode tonight versus putting it with the show on Saturday night is we got something very special planned on Saturday. We're having Anonymous and Ethis Asher joining us, so we're going to have an awesome lore special on the 5th Astral Era. So we want to give them a lot of time and to do their thing, so we don't want to interrupt them, so we're doing this now. So, without further ado, I don't know. When they showed that Stormblood intro screen, what did you guys think of that?
Ooh, yeah.
I liked it. I mean,
yeah.
It's the exact opposite of the Heavensward one. But I liked it. I thought it was really cool, the fire, the effects. I liked the choice of music they used. It was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that in a couple of weeks.
It's crawling up on us, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting really close, guys. I mean, there's one more live letter before launch, but...
is there?
Yeah, there's going to be one at E3, which I believe is just before launch. So, with that... the other thing I thought that was funny was, I guess Foxconn wasn't feeling the greatest. He kind of had the whole sick voice. And
he made a joke about being Darth Vader.
Yes. I am your father.
I am your father.
I
am your daddy of light.
Oh, God.
I wasn't going to go there, but apparently Chili wanted to. But no, the fact that he said that, you know, nothing important comes out of his mouth. That was kind of funny, I thought. Did you catch that when he said that?
Yeah.
That was, all right. So then they jumped right into it. And I mean, they went right at the heart of it. And they talked about, you know, all the problems with what's going on with 3.0 and how they were going to address it in 4.0. So basically they got out the old axe and they started chopping away at cross-class skills. They're gone. Right? They're gone. You don't have to level up Thaumaturge to get Swiftcast anymore.
Cheater. Like, you knew this was going to happen. Yeah. Like, it was...
I want to contact Yoshi just to say, just leave it for Klaus. Make him level up.
Quiet, yo. Quiet. But, so instead, now we have cross-role abilities. All those cross-class ones that you could use for between all the different jobs are now specified by role. So we've got tanks have, this is from the translation and that we got on the Reddit. They have Rampart, Convalescence, Reprisal, Low Blow, Provoke, Shirk, Ultimatum, Interject, and Anticipation. Some of these are probably just renamed skills from the other jobs. Some of them are like, you know, we know them, Provoke.
There's the AoE Provoke now.
It's an AoE Provoke, okay.
No, there's another one.
Oh, there
one
is another one. Yeah. Is that the Ultimatum?
Yeah, that's Ultimatum, if I'm rightly.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember what all of them are. I didn't get that deep into it.
I just know that one was AoE Provoke. I can't remember the name.
All healers now get Cleric Stance, which is no longer a stance, per se.
Yeah, that was interesting. That's going to be something to get used to.
Yep, we'll talk about why in a little bit. Swiftcast is not part of the healers. Protect, Surecast, which was a Black Mage thing before, wasn't it?
It was a Black Mage thing, but now I'm happy they made it.
A healer thing?
Yeah.
Asuna, Divine Seal with a little bit change of color. Shroud of Saints with a little bit different color. And a new Eye for an Eye.
Yay.
Melee gets Second Wind, Invigorate, Goad. So now Dragoons can goad. That's kind of cool. Leg Sweep, good. Diversion. This is an interesting one. Bloodbath is a melee skill. It's no longer a Marauder skill.
Nice.
And there's a new cross-role skill that removes directional requirements for skills for 15 seconds. They didn't say what the name was on that one, but basically it's like, you know, it doesn't matter where you're at that point. You can just, you get your maximum damage for 15 seconds.
It's called the sexy button.
It's called Chili, dirtying his pants.
Yeah. New boxes, please, button.
Ranged physical, get Swift Song, Second Wind, Invigorate, and then all the Machinist cross-class skills. So I'm assuming Raging Strikes, Quelling Strikes, stuff like that.
Well, it'll be renamed because right now Raging's not there, so.
Well, yeah, we'll have to see what it is. Like I said, they didn't specify, and I didn't get a chance to dig more deeply into it. Unfortunately, just not enough time. But
We don't know either.
We'll know more about it. And like I said, a lot of this is still kind of, you know, we're speculating on some of it as well. But and then the Ranged Magics get Swiftcast, Apocastasis, Surecast, Addle, which is basically like a virus. A dot removal. Mana Shift, which gives MP to a party member. So that's kind of cool.
You can give my paladin mana.
Yeah.
Then he can holy.
Yeah, you can single target holy, can't you?
Yeah.
And after I spam heals, I can yell at you for being like, give me MP.
Yeah.
And then you can pull the won't say anymore, actually.
So that's the cross-role abilities, or most of them. Like I said, there's more information out on the web about everything on it, so, you know, you can check that out. And then This one's kind of cool, but I'm not sure exactly how they're going to work all of it. Upgraded versions of skills and spells will utilize the same icon slash slot. So, for instance, all the stones will work in the same spot. So once you level up to get stone 2, your stone icon will stay there, but it'll be now casting stone 2.
That's going to be weird, especially for when I DPS on my scholar, because I have bio and bio 2. Then I also have a miasma and miasma 2.
Now, they did say that if those skills, if one's single target and one's AoE, they will not combine.
Okay, so the miasma and the miasma 2 will be fine, but so, if miasma bio is single, and bio 2 for me.
If bio 2 is not a single target, it will change to just bio. You'll get to stronger bio when you level up. Now, the one that I'm actually kind of slightly concerned about is stone, because regular stone puts a heavy on the user or the target, whereas the other versions of stone do not. So they're taking that away.
I think they all give heavy now. I saw a new stone ability with heavy.
Or will they all get heavy?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's got to be one or the other, right?
I think I saw a stone with heavy. Because, I mean, all the stones.
When I was leveling up my white mage, you know, that was part of my thing. You know, I would start with stone, and then I would, you know, as I'm DPSing, I would throw stone 2 out, and as soon as the heavy wore off, I would stone again, you know? So as they're coming from me, fluid aura, and then I would stone, so that would be, they'd be stuck out there.
It's kind of weird because Thunder 2 and Thunder 4 will be separate as well.
Yep, Thunder 2 and Thunder 4 will stack, but Thunder and 1 and Thunder 3 will stack because 1 is single target, 2 is AoE.
Yeah, which is a bit weird.
But they did specify.
They want to try and consider, like, you know, that they separate anyway.
Yep. But, I mean, overall, I think that's a good idea to upgrade the skills. So I'm wondering if that also means we're going to get, maybe more skills between 60 and 70 that are upgrades. Well, I know we're getting Stone 4, but, I mean, are we going to get some abilities that have a second version, not just spells?
Well, I wish it wasn't Stone 4. I wish it was Break.
Well, maybe that's going to be a new spell. Who knows? You know, we haven't seen a lot of ancient magic. I mean, we've got Flare, but, you know, we don't have Freeze. We don't have
Quake. We have Freeze.
Oh, we do? Is Freeze now? Okay.
We've had Freeze. Freeze was like an early Black Mage spell.
Was it? Well, I don't know that, I guess. I only have a level 23
Thaumaturge. It's rubbish, though, so.
All right. Well, so
don't get to see it.
Shows what I know.
Yeah.
I don't know shit, apparently. But that's a cool thing. And then the new job gauges, they showed those off. You know, the little HUD elements to show what's going on, how your skills are doing. So they showed those off. Now, Chili, you played 11, right?
Yeah, I did.
Luna, have you seen enough 11 to understand how its gameplay worked?
I get the little icon thing.
Okay, well,
I'm still not sure how I feel about them.
Well, okay, here's how it works. For those of you who played 11, you're going to understand this, but for those who didn't, basically how TP worked in Final Fantasy 11 was every time you successfully made a hit, you would build up your tactical points, your TP. It works very similar now with these job gauges. They change, like the warrior doesn't get stacks anymore of rage. They get they build up points on their bar. Once you hit a certain number of points, you can then execute an action, use that TP, so to speak. The way they're doing these skills now really reminds me of that system in Final Fantasy XI, and I'm actually excited for it.
Hell, the ninja one makes me think even more because the auto attacks affect it.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's actually pretty cool. And then, I know Sayre, he basically was, he was creaming his pants when we told him that warriors are going to be able to quadruple Felcleave.
They look like 5.
I suppose, they can get the 5th one with a special ability, can't they? Yeah. But, but just from the attacks, I mean, they can build their bar up to 100, and each Felcleave only costs 25. So that's 4 right there.
No, they cost 50.
No, I saw they cost 25.
He used an ability that decreased it.
Oh, well, Okay, but still, that's still quad cleave.
At least double, though.
Damn. I mean, that's a lot of damage. I mean, especially if you're a berserk during that. So yeah, that's those, and each job has their own specific looking one that fits the theme of their job. There's plenty of pictures of those available out on the internet, so if you want to check those out. The sizzle video that we're going to be showing here in a little bit might show them as well, I think. I don't recall. But we are going to be showing the job actions video as well, and we're going to talk about those while they're playing. Speaking of which, it's that time, so let's talk about that sizzle reel. Pretty good segue there, huh?
All right.
I'm going to bring
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and bring that up, and we're going to start playing that. We're not going to play sound with it, so it's not going to be, as we play it, it's not going to start and stop.
I will do sound effects.
Square Enix. Whoosh. Ooh, Stormblood hype. Whoosh. But yeah, this is an 11-minute video, but we're going to stop it during each job so we can kind of talk about what we see in it.
Shwing!
Job actions.
Shwing!
All right, so we're starting with Red Mage, my baby. I was really excited when I saw how they talked about these. Pausing it right there at the beginning. So basically, as he goes in and attacks, they're going to show some of the magic spells. How the Red Mage works is they balance black magic with white magic on their gauge. And so they need to try and get both of them built up so they can utilize their skills to their fullest potential. They have a ability called Chain Spell that allows them to cast one spell, and then the second one has no cast time. If they crit on a spell, the next spell they cast has a reduced spell time. So you can build all that up between crits and direct hits and all that stuff. We'll talk about direct hit in a bit. But it looks like a really interesting type of job to play, and I'm really excited to jump into it. So you can see in the screenshot in the lower right corner, that's their little job bar. I'm going to go ahead and start that up so you can see what happens as they use a spell. It builds up a little bit of it there. So he's using some black magic there, and it built it up on that side. No, white magic, excuse me. And then he uses black magic on the next cast to keep them balanced. Once he gets so much built up, he can then start using swordplay, and he'll just dash in just like this. Right now, he can be Zoro,
Zoro.
And then jumps back out and starts over again.
You killed my mother.
I mean, that is...
He even makes a Z.
I mean, I thought that was pretty cool. I'm really hyped to try out Red Mage for that. I mean, it looks like a lot of fun to play. It's the Red Mage I wanted in 11.
He did a Dreadworms as well. Deathlair.
Well, not quite, because, the summoners get something even more spectacular. Anything else you guys want to add on Red Mage?
I was kind of looking at it, and because you're so hesitant to do Thaumaturge and Black Mage, I was wondering how you're going to handle that, because...
No, it's not that I don't like Black Mage in general. I just don't like this Black Mage. See, but with this, with Red Mage, there's a lot of balancing your sides, your black and your white, and then using those points to do the sword work. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to that. Well, I'm just a Red Mage freak. Okay, give me a break.
Yeah,
but you're a
Red Mage weeaboo
for life
is what you're trying to tell me.
Yeah,
a weeaboo.
You guys have seen my tattoo.
Yeah.
It's an amazing tattoo. But anyway, moving on. Dragoon. So, they have some really cool stuff. Basically, they can start from a distance, and then they can build up and jump right into the battle. They get a lot of dragony-looking attacks. They build up their bar, and then they can unleash their dragon. I'm going to go ahead and pause it.
Unleash the dragon.
I mean, they've got some really cool-looking new moves that they can utilize to build up their limit bar there. You can see that kind of in the right below him, as it builds up. jumps, build it up, and then his eye went up, so now he can use his red. He can summon the red dragon. It looks like here in a second.
Oh, okay, his eye did hook Spock.
Well, I wonder. Maybe that's part of it. You know that maybe some of it's the little bit of the dark side of the dragons.
Why are you talking about dark sides?
So when the eye glowed, he used Geigerskugel, and the gauge changed color, and there's a lot. Yeah, one of the skills that called there, that last skill was Gaze of the First Brood. It was called. So yeah, it's basically skills from the dark side.
Yeah.
And speaking of,
while we're talking about dark sides.
Yeah. Speaking of the dark side, we got the Dark Knight. Their gauge is called the Blood Gauge, blood for the blood gods, and they have some really cool effects on their their
Fleetwood,
casting now.
By the way, said it's called the Gaze of the Brood. Oh, he said, never mind. Yep. It must be delayed.
Yeah. So their new skill using the gauge, Dark Arts doesn't use necessarily use that gauge. The different spells that he has for Dark Arts will utilize different amounts, because that big hit there took about half of the gauge.
His blood gauge, I think it's called.
Yep.
I'm looking really forward to it, because that's my tank main, as far as tanking goes.
Yep.
That's my tank.
Whereas Chili is the paladin main, and I and Sarah play more of the warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Cleave! But, I mean, it looks interesting with the addition of that blood gauge, the things that they can do. Other things that they have, they use their skills to generate their black blood, and then they use that to perform their new skills.
It's Klaus's second favorite job.
Yeah, actually, I'm excited about the changes they made to Bard.
Oh, you and me both.
Because, you know how much fun Bard can be. So now, yeah. When you cast a song, you get a new gauge that'll pop up. Waiting for it to pop up on the screen. There it is. So you cast a song, and you get your little song gauge that you fill up using actions. You notice there's no more cast times.
Thank God.
Cast times are gone. We're no longer a bow mage. But wandering turns into a song that you can use. So you can use that, and I suppose the more you use skills within that, you can build up points within that. I'm going to play it a little bit more so you can see as they use the skills, the music bars will fill up.
I thought that Wanderer's Minuet might be like a Raging Strikes now. Where it just
might be
you...
their damage increase, yes.
Yeah.
See, now he's using Payon, so I mean, maybe that'll help with TP regeneration for him and for the Bard in the party. Now they're on Minuet. So there's a new skill here that they use right here with all of these freaking... This reminds me of, if you've ever seen Fate Stay, the one with Gilgamesh in it.
Oh, this attack.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
This attack reminds me of that.
It does, doesn't it?
But this is under the effect of Wanderer's Minuet. So I'm wondering if that's like their new you know what I'm trying to say here, their damage increasing skill.
Yeah.
But it's really, really cool. But the more they use those, it builds up their bar. So like it makes it probably more potent at that point. Just a guess. There's some cool things going on with Scholar. I have to admit that.
Yes. Yes. The fairy tether is really, really interesting.
So, okay, so I'm pausing it before it gets into it. So you see the Scholar in the background. You see their Aether Stacks and their Fairy Gauge. You see the Dragoon in the front right, and you see the Fairy in the front left. Now watch the Fairy. Scholar casts a spell, and then in a second we're going to have a tether go from the fairy to the dragoon. Do you see that they're using their like a little tablet computer kind of thing?
Yeah.
Little screens popped up.
And did you notice the little papers that popped up around the dragoon then?
Yep. So it must be like some deployment tactics kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
When the fairy is on the got its tether on there, it's actually using its gauge at that point to either cover it or give it some special healing, or maybe, depending on which fairy that was, I'm sorry, I don't know which one it was.
I think that was Eos.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Eos.
Is that the status enhancing one?
No, that's Selene.
Selene, okay. So that's what I'm wondering is, but depending on which fairy you choose, will one of them, negate damage while the other one will enhance, stats?
I'm guessing so. That's probably how it works.
Just speculation here. Yeah, I mean, that's just speculation on my part, but...
Also, Snow, it does look a bit like Libra, the ability where it pops up. With the computer screens and tablet, that does a bit look like Libra. Also, the healer was adjusting.
All right, so next one is Ninja, or Naruto. So you can Datebayo. You can see the scroll down there. So I have Ninja up to 50, but I really didn't pay much attention to it. But you'll see they're way back there. They use the skill to, I think that's Hutan, or yeah. Hutan, for the speed. Then they kind of sneak up a little bit. They use Raiton. And then there's the Toad Sage. And then
Summoning Jutsu.
Kage Bunshin no Jutsu. And then they go through a few other things. Some of those used up their gauge, but now that you can see, because they've got Hutan up, they've got their little fan countdown to make sure they know when their speed debuff goes away. See him doing... What do you guys think of the design of the actual striking dummy they're using?
Oh, I like it. I mean, it's not as good as my current dummy, but...
Scarlet in chat. You didn't pay much attention, Ninja. Neither did the devs during the live letter. But ching.
Well, they paid more attention to Ninja than they did the monk.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a few jobs that didn't get any love during the live letter. I mean, Yoshi, gave a lot of attention to the Black Mage.
That's his mate.
That's his baby. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Paladin got some love during that. It was funny. Foxlon was trying to show him some ninja stuff, and he kind of like, I'm just going to go over here. Yeah. But then there's that AoE. Is this AoE on the ground? Is that a new thing?
That's to allow him to use three ninjutsus in a row.
Oh, okay. So that's their special, that they can use it without having to...
If you watch... He does three attacks in a row without any hand signs, I think.
Well, just singles, it looked like he did.
No, he did one, two, then three.
Okay.
One after another. Well, he did hand signs, but he kind of did all three in a row.
But they were just single ones. They looked like they were just single hand signs, though. Because, you can do a single hand sign and do a basic attack.
Yeah, but that was it. That third one was his third attack. Yeah, okay. From doing three.
Okay. So it was like... First one was the first level, second was the second level, third one was the third level?
Yeah.
Oh, so you did the action, but you held on to it. Interesting. Yeah. So you got to figure out the right combos for stuff like that. That requires thinking.
Oh, God. I can't do that.
Oh, this one. I'm actually excited for the machinist for this one, especially for this beginning piece right here. This part is amazing. Pops in the... fucking flamethrower. It's a full-blown goddamn flamethrower.
Well, yeah, I can see that.
It's fucking amazing.
Who ordered the roasted poppetoes?
Apparently, using the flamethrower builds heat in the heat gauge down at the bottom there. So you got a heat gauge, and you've got your holster, your little your weapons belt, your ammo belt. So he used the flamethrower to heat up the barrel here. So he went to red, and then now he's going to use some of his other skills to build up more. And then he's going to
does the thing and the stuff.
This is a new move coming up soon.
That big AoE right there. Oh, that one. Let's go back to that one. I want to look at that one again. Where he shoots multiple. Bullets.
Yeah.
Dang it, I hate this. Oh, what the heck happened? I just skipped through it. Here we go.
I actually like that more than the flamethrower.
Yeah. I think, here it is again. Multiple bullets shooting at the target, and then two machines, and then the third.
Yeah.
It looks interesting. I know this is real educational right now, guys. I apologize. I don't know a lot of the different moves for the jobs that I don't play, but they look cool. I suppose I could read the chart. Well, it's not really called anything on these. It just kind of describes what they are, too. But
Shooty bang bang.
But again,
we love you.
No cast times for Machinist either. So that's kind of nice.
God.
It may make me want to play it again. I think I got mine at 35. I played it so much. But this is Sarah's baby and my tank of choice, Warrior.
I have a Warrior as well, but yeah.
So he's got his gauge up. He's got a shoulder tackle, a charge. Attacks build up his bar. So he's at 100 now.
The shoulder tackle actually uses some of his bar as well.
A little bit, yep.
Yeah.
And he switched stances, which actually dropped his gauge down by half to do that. So there is a little bit of a penalty to switch between stances. But, you know, there's a new move that used it, but then there's a special move you can use to build it back up right away. And here's one fell cleave, and two fell cleave, and three fell cleave, and let's make that four fell cleave.
Yay!
So, yeah, but it looks like he did a special action, you're right, Chili, just before he did that to actually get the half-price fell cleaves, because I believe you were saying that they're 50 points apiece,
yeah.
But that makes them 25, so... Quad fell cleave. Plus, there's another special ability that allows you to get a fifth one.
Well, you should be able to do six if you do it right, probably with enough skills.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you would use one and two. You would fill your bar back. You would use the skill and four. Right, yeah. Afterwards.
Well, no, you get your 100 back. Yep. 100, right?
Yep.
You use your skill, get down to 50, then use infuriate to give yourself 50 back. You know, your TP restore move, infuriate.
Okay. Well,
your stack increase. It used to give you 5 stacks so you could do a fail cleave.
Okay, but
now it gives you 50 points.
Okay, so that would give you that would be your fifth fail cleave then.
Yeah, unless you can do it while you still got the 25 point on.
I don't know how long that lasts. I'm sure they timed it so where you can either do one or the other.
Yeah, but once people have got enough skill speed later on and it break it.
Who knows? Now, this one made a lot of people just, you know, cream. Summoner.
Monk.
No, oh, Summoner.
That's close.
Not quite. So they're showing off some of the new abilities. Destroying things, you know, summoning stuff. And here comes a big summon. No, maybe not. That was like a bio and a miasma.
Oh, big summon. Yeah.
But it's coming up in a second. Oh, there it is. So now their stacks are glowing. They cast a big summon spell. The wing pops up. They're in Dreadworm Trance, and there's Bahamut. Fucking cast Bahamut right now. That is fucking amazing.
See, I have a thing. I have an issue with this, in a way.
Okay.
I mean, okay, so you do your main story. The Saiyans are like, oh, come help us, Warrior of Light. We need your help. Please kill these people. Okay, 1 second. Let me summon the thing that nearly killed us.
Yeah, well, you know, how's that different from the Dragoon using blood of the First Brood?
You've not actually got the giant thing behind you.
Yeah.
You've got Nidhogg.
You've
got a giant Bahamut. Isn't that going to hit?
Well, it's not actually PTSD? Bahamut. It's Bahamut Eggy. Which looks much better than Garuda Eggy,
yeah, but
by
just
the way.
Thinking it might trigger some people PTSD.
Well, but the one thing that I do like about this is the size of it and the quality of the actual
because size does matter, folks.
Yes. Well, it reminds me again of the Final Fantasy XI summons, where you know they're actually nice sized and they're actually very well detailed. So I think they kind of did this as a, you know, we heard you guys wanted a real summon, so here you go. You can have a Bahamut. So now we get people to level 70, they're going to go into a turn 13 unsynced, and they're going to go into Dreadworm Stand.
Bahamut? Yeah. This is a Bahamut.
Yo, dog, I heard you like Bahamut, so put Bahamut with your Bahamut so you can kill Bahamut with Bahamut.
Bahamuts. Bahamas.
But no, I think it's cool, and you basically get, you know, mini Ockmorns and all that good stuff. So,
but I'd like full size Ockmorn. Why do I want mini versions of her?
Well, you can have all the Ockmorns.
Yay!
Only if she lets you.
We're gonna.
It's all about you know, you got to have permission. So, next one. This one has spawned a lot of memes already. For some of their new moves, they get the White Mage.
No, White Mage.
If you watched Maelstrom Radio, they were kind of making Shin and Flaz are making fun of the fact that they get lilies. You know, everybody else gets really cool looking.
Job hunts. I actually like the lilies because I thought of it as Beauty and the Beast roses.
But
especially the shape of it.
Kane in chat, consent, not permission, you're not wrong. That's actually a better word. Yes, thank you. That was the word I was trying to think of, but, you know, braining and stuff. I had a full day of work. Give me a break. But no, it's, it was, White Mage, you know, it looks like there's some interesting things. I think they're going to show it off here in a second. That was Stone 4. That was pretty cool. Some of the new cures. I don't know what that spell was. That little light that popped up over their head. I guess like a buff.
Field ability.
You can use the lilies, it looks like, here to do some sort of a new item or new thing. See how their gauge is glowing? And they use them right now, and then they put like something around. See, oh, there it is. He pulled the Lalafell out of the ley lines.
Get out your ley lines.
Yoink.
that's their new rescue. The meme that I saw had the new party new game, you know, for a full party is Pass the Potato. 7 White Mages and a Lalafell.
That sounds wrong.
I know, I think it's kind of funny. Anyway, speaking of black mages, here's Yoshi's baby. They got some really cool looking things. Their job gauge down there in the corner. So you cast something to get what's it called up already? What's the move that everybody Enochian?
Inochan.
Enochian. Chili and be quiet. So you, as soon as you cast a spell, you get a Enochian built, started right away. It indicated in the gauge there because they cast, this is obviously an ice mage. They cast Blizzard to start to get into Umbral Ice, and they cast Blizzard 4. That's new, I believe. Correct.
No, Blizzard 4 is old.
I thought Blizzard 4 was a new spell.
No, Blizzard 4 is what used to keep your ley lines, or is it? Yeah, ley lines up.
Okay.
Or is it Enochan? I can't remember. I just know it's used to refresh something. One of your buffs.
They get something new, but then they laid his ley lines down, doing more stuff to the striking dummy. Fire 4, Ice 4, Thunder 4 looked like another Fire 4.
I want to say Thunder 4 is actually Burst, maybe.
Well, I think that's also an AoE. It sounds like. And now he switched it back over, and he's going to refresh his Enochian and go back into casting the 4 spells. And then I think he's going to... You know what? He never used in that. He used it in the White Mage video, but he didn't use it in the Black Mage video, was that new teleport to ley lines.
Oh, yeah? So he also didn't use the new Black Mage spell where after he gets enough stacks, he does a thing.
He maybe didn't have enough time. I don't know. Like I said, I watched a little bit of it, but I don't play Black Mage, so I really personally don't care, but for all you Black Mages, woo, I guess. Astro, I haven't played that one, but they get a new card UI. Yeah, I mean, because they actually get the cards, so I mean, you can start, you know, your Yu-Gi-Oh! Fanfics. It looks like they can use 3 cards, I heard somebody say.
Nice. One does damage now.
Yep. Some of the effects, like that circle of lights effect that's on the screen right now, is an effect of one of their cards. And there's a really cool area of effect spell. I don't know if it's a buff or
this spell that's going on right now. It happens after a while.
Yeah, it shows then these constellations in the sky.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really cool looking spell. I don't know what it does, but it's cool looking.
Wow, 650 potency for Black Mage. That was it.
Okay.
It's time to duel.
Here's your hotness. This is your hotness, Chili. Monk.
Yay.
Monk, now leech confirmed.
Yeah.
When a party member does an action, they can take chakra from them to power up their attacks, but their attacks also power up the party. So it gives it a little bit more raid synergy.
We also get the spirit bomb.
Well, we'll show that in just a second, but if you look at their gauge, they have their lightning stacks at the bottom, and then they have their what's that called? Their chakra is up just above that. It looks like it's a firebird revolver.
Yeah.
Really. Because they're going to shoot it at you. But yeah, then they get this swirly-looking thing, and then they hit stuff and use all their stuff, and yeah. Lots of
that's
damage
cool.
still.
The new Earth and Fire abilities.
Interesting looking abilities. But yeah, it was cool being there. Was two of them back and forth. They were showing the skills, you know, how it was affecting each one of them, how they were building chakra off of the other.
If I'm right, the new Earth ability, when you got Fist of Earth on, if you get hit by an attack, you take 10% less damage and it refreshes your Grease Lightning.
Okay. Interesting.
And I can't remember what the fire one did exactly.
But lots of stuff and things.
Can we see Spirit Bomb again? Yay!
No Spirit Bomb. Go watch Dragon Ball Z if you want to see a Spirit Bomb. Next one is Samurai, the other new job. This one is cool. So you build up, you've got two bars. You got your sword bar. You know, when you use a sword action, it'll utilize stuff. But if you use just a regular attack, it will build it up. And you can build up your different sends. Represented by the three little symbols there. When they start to glow, then you can utilize them to do different attacks. See, he used both of them and it did an AoE attack there. And he did another skill there that now he built up his top send. Then the second one with this action. Now he's got all three up. So I'm assuming now at this point he can utilize those to charge up and do a really big, powerful attack. It reminds me in a lot of ways of Samurai in 11 as well, how they, you know, use their weapon skills. What do you think, Chili?
Oh, it does remind me of a skill change.
Yep. I mean, because Samurais in 11 could skill chain off of themselves, which is really cool.
In fact, their level 50, I think it is, ability is the same as their 2-hour. It's basically perfect balance, but for Samurai, where you can do the abilities without having the bar up. All
right, and now your main, Paladin. This one's a lot of cool stuff. Saving kind of the best for last in a lot of ways. They get a new AoE there, really big area of effect on that one.
The only side effect of that AoE attack is it doesn't generate in me.
Okay, it's just a straight damage, so like if you're an off tank?
Yeah. Which I wish it did do in me.
And then showing their gauge there, how they swapped it into Shield Oats.
Oh, is it your Shield Oats?
And now here's their new cool move with the wings. They get 100% block rate. And every party member behind them in a conal area gets 15% damage down. So that's pretty cool for like a tank buster or a mid fight monster move. You know, you Paladin pops this move. You pop your Adlos. You pop your Sacred Soils. You pop your all your oh shit buttons. And you know,
pop your Divine Bell first as well to give everyone even more damage resistance.
So that is the sizzle reel for the new jobs there, for the abilities that we get out of those. What's everybody think?
I hate it.
Terrible. Unsub. Delete horrible files.
Oh, no, I wanted to be a monk in this expansion because it is a, you know, monk was one of the main.
Here's the other big thing that they talked about, the fact that blocking now works for both physical and magical for paladins. So they get a huge boost right there. I mean, they just became relevant again in raids.
Oh, so you don't have to face the enemy to block either now.
Yep. All right. Now, the next thing they went into was changes in stats. Biggest ones, you know, they were talking about they were going to make changes to parry and accuracy. Well, they made changes to parry and accuracy. They fucking got rid of them is what they did. Rip.
Yay.
Parry has been replaced by tenacity and not tenacious D, though that would be amazing.
Tenacious D is so strong.
I can make a tenacious D joke about that, but I think I'm going to wait. Tenacity is tanks only. It's a tank-only stat. It raises damage dealt and reduces damage received. So you're going to probably see a lot of tenacity builds for your tanks.
Tenacity?
Tenacity, yes. Tenacity.
Tennessee.
Tennessee? Tennessee whiskey? accuracy was replaced by a stat called direct hit. It's basically crit hit's little brother. It procs more often, but for a smaller increase in damage. You can direct crit, though. So you can proc a crit hit and a direct hit to get what they're calling a direct crit, which will deal a lot of damage. But it does stack, again, with determination. So it's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of interesting builds now for DPS, because this direct hit is DPS only.
Not really. Everyone's going to meld crit and DH.
I mean, you could do crit hit, direct hit. You could do a mix of, you know, crit is still king. By far and away, crit is king, especially for Red Mage.
I want to say we don't know the stat weights yet.
So. No, and we're not going to know them right away. So, I mean, this is all speculative, but I can see a lot of people doing a, crit / direct hit / debt. And maybe mixing skill speed. Maybe we're just going to try and well-round our characters now to get the best effects, you know?
All I know is my paladin's going to get a belt of constant Tennessee.
Tennessee bourbon whiskey?
That's what I'm going to mount all these accessories.
That's not the only change to stats, though. Piety, which used to be a main stat, is now turning into a substat. What do you think of that, Luna? As a healer main.
As a healer main, I don't know. I wonder if that's really going to affect my MP and how much I have to balance more. I'm kind of leery about it, but I'm hoping it's for better.
Doesn't mean you can now meld it onto your accessory,
accessories,
because you couldn't meld main stats before.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you're no longer going to have, you know, but you don't have to fight with piety or just, you know, mixing piety with mind or piety with, I don't think many people did piety with int, but, you know, a few black mages would put a couple of spot ones in there just to get a couple extra MP so they can get that extra flare off, but extra fire four, fire three or whatever it was at the time.
I would slap them.
But I think overall it's probably a good thing, you know, just having the main stats being vitality, strength, dex, int, and mind. You know, we've got five.
Yeah, fire's always been a weird.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to have the sixth one to round it out, so there's six of them. But, you know, we've got five types of classes, so just having five main stats makes more sense.
I could say, the one thing that I find weird is the fact that tanks have now gone back to using strength as their main stat for damage.
Yep, so strength is now, you're going to stat strength, but they're going to get new accessories that are going to be tank only.
Yeah, you can't use DPS ones.
Yep. So that's a nice thing, is you can no longer, you know, use accessories from another job to boost your eye level.
Which makes me so happy. I'm so sick of joining I mean, I was doing a level 60 roulette recently, and the Dark Knight had only 18,000 HP.
Yep, but he had an eye level high enough because he was wearing like strength or dex or some other type of accessory, right?
Yep.
But speaking of changes for healers, what do you think of this, Luna? Healer damage now based on mind, not int.
Thank fucking God.
You get permanent cleric stance, basically.
Good.
Is what that means. And the fact then, the reason we got rid of accuracy is because accuracy is now basically, as long as you are at the same level as the monster you're hitting, you will hit it from the front. If you're attacking a higher level monster, you do have a chance of missing, but you get a higher chance of hitting if you're at a flank or rear still, I believe they said, correct?
For healers? Yeah.
No, everybody. For everybody.
Okay.
For everybody. But healers are getting their accuracy hit the same way. So it's based on the same thing. And then the other thing being the blind stat will actually reduce your accuracy to a point where it actually is going to make, you know, where you're going to want to actually Asuna that off.
So you'll be able to tell if you can Asuna it because there'll be a white line above it.
That's a quality of life thing that's coming. Yes, that was in a dev blog earlier in the week. But no, I thought that was pretty cool. And then, like I said, we talked about the fact that accessories are now based off of your job role, not usable by just anybody. So that's good. Some good changes coming through in the Stormblood. Then they went into showing the speed differences that we're going to get with, you know, once we get through Heavensward and then we get through a certain point in Stormblood. They did a normal speed Chocobo versus Yoshi's super speed tank mount, which was what they call speed level 2. If you
also the tank mounts are the new tank mounts.
Yep, we'll talk about that in just a second, Chili. Okay. You're getting ahead of us. Slow down. People who didn't slow down, Yoshi. Oh my God, that mount was fast. Can you believe how fast that mount caught up when the Chocobo took off, ran at normal speed? Yoshi let it run. Got to the top of the steps. Yoshi went and caught up to it in no time. This was on the high bridge in Than, so in Eastern Thanalan. But that
they
was
just changed jobs as well.
Yeah, and changed mounts, and then still caught back up. That was craziness. I thought that, but it was cool. I mean, it'll be nice to be able to travel through. But I can see that being, you know, people getting salty, you know, at hunts, you know, in the AR areas when they have to run to it. And, you know, people who've gotten through and gotten the second speed boost are like getting there so much faster than everybody else and early pulling. A lot of happy news from me, right? Just kidding.
Well, as long as you're being Heaven's Ward, you got the second tier mount anyway.
First.
The first tier mount's the basic. Second tier is
I'm calling it the first boost.
Okay.
So once you beat Heavensward, you get the first boost. You don't get the second boost until you do a special quest or something after you beat Stormblood.
Beat Stormblood.
Well, no, it's probably gonna be more than that. Yeah, there's probably gonna be a quest afterwards that you have to complete. But yeah, that'll be kind of nice to have nice fast mounts in those areas. They still don't intend to release a cloud motorcycle, though.
Probably wait until Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah. You know, we could... Maybe they'll bring out that quad mount Regalia. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be amazing.
And then, like Chili was saying, they showed off new mounts. They showed off the new flying tank mounts. And they showed off the primal puppies. Those wolf pups that we saw in the benchmark video, those are the primal mounts. There's a fire one, and then there's probably a water one. But no, that's going to be amazing. They looked really nice.
I'm kind of disappointed.
Why? I thought they looked like really nice mounts.
They do, but I would wish it was something more sea-related.
Well, we'll have to see what the story brings us to see how it makes sense. You guys mind if we just skip the PvP changes or just go over them really basically quick?
PvP is having things happen. You'll have moves, and there will be attacks.
It's getting simplified is the gist of it.
It's dumbed down for the people that don't know how to PvP. Congratulations.
From my understanding, it's actually they're copying the PvP from Guild Wars 2.
All I know is I like the changes, and I can't wait.
I heard that from Shin and Flatus last night, so I'm going to credit them for that information. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. So that sounds like it's basically from that to simplify it, to make it more accessible. I wonder what people like Joe think. We'll have to kind of find out. I haven't heard anything from him about it, so.
Maybe I'll find out for you.
Yeah. I mean, it might actually not be a bad thing because it could get A, more people involved with it, and B, you know, if it's, you got a level playing field, it could make it, you know, more esports capable, more competition.
All I know is, it makes me excited to play PvP.
I'll try it. I definitely will. But it's basically been balanced across the board, and it should be something interesting.
I got sick of having so many buttons when you go into PvP because you got all your normal moves and then all the new moves.
Yeah, that I definitely agree with that. You know, having to mix those in there, that was terrible. So you get a new PvP bar that you utilize when you switch over to the Wolves Den, and yeah. If you want to see more about that, go check out the live letter. It'll all be there.
Can I add something to this? A lot of people saying that's completely new, which isn't true. You can already have your own PvP bar if you go into the settings.
No, it's an entire PvP set. Just for PvP.
Yeah, the
set is
new, but the bar isn't, though. You can actually go, you can actually make it so that a bar only appears when you enter the Wolf's Den.
I guess nobody. I wonder when they snuck that one in.
It was a while back. It's 1 second.
If I'd known that, I probably would have popped it in because I'm currently using just a few open spots that I have on my bar for PvP actions that I could be using for something else. Damn it. Anyway, let's talk about that last bit that got some people salty. I don't know how I feel about it yet, but they've been talking about this for quite a while, and they have now confirmed that for starting with early access, we will have jump potions.
1 second. It's under top bar settings on character configuration. It says enable.
Who cares about that? We're talking about jump potions.
But I wanted to clarify this because a lot of people don't seem to notice that this exists.
Okay, it's a thing. You can check it out in the game. Jump potions.
Okay. I'll jump off this then.
Yes. So, to skip ARR, $18. To skip ARR and Heavensward, or just Heavensward, $25. You get a chocobo with a random name. You join the grand company of your starting city-state. You get marked for completion of all the main story quests. Select side quests that help you unlock dungeons and other key features. And the Unending Journey will have all of your cutscenes. So if you have a friend who wanted to join you at launch of Stormblood for an extra $25, they can skip the story. But they will also then need a job boost. $25 per job. Brings you right to 60. Gives you a full set of 60 gear, including a weapon. Did they say what gear?
No, but I'm guessing maybe lore.
Augmented Shire gear, maybe. I level 270.
I don't think it'd give you that high. I think it'd be because the silver give you lore right now, so I think it'd be the same as the silver feathers.
But you're paying $25.
You also get a level 60 job, so.
Yeah. I don't know.
And lore will be, because they want you to actually have something to grind to as well. Yeah, you can't just, yeah. Because 270 is probably going to last you till 64, 65.
We'll see, I guess. I mean, it depends. I mean, maybe they'll just give you regular Shire gear. 260.
Yeah, maybe.
Split the difference. Who knows? We'll see what it is if for people who buys it. You can only buy one of these up until 4.1 is dropped. So you can't level all your classes. Yep. Per account. So yeah. My Klaus account can only buy one of them if I chose to. Luna can only buy one of her account. Chili can buy as many as he wants because he hacks the game.
Yay!
All job quests are completed, all actions learned, and Hall of the Novice access is granted, so you can learn how to use your shit. But this potion does not complete the main story quest. So, like I said, if you got a new friend who wants to join you at the launch of Stormblood, he will need to buy the game for $60. Plus, he will need to buy the Heavensward jump potion for the storyline and a job boost. So that's going to be about $110 plus tax.
No, it's $50.
Well, I thought the game was $60.
Oh, you're actually buying the game as well.
You have to buy the game as well. Yeah. So a friend who's never played the game to get in, $110. But they can join you in DOMA or wherever the game starts. I'm not as salty as I thought I might have been on this whole thing, but what about you guys?
I still say don't bother buying the story potion. Just buy the level potion and then unsync it with your friend. You'll burn through the quest really fast.
Well, there's a lot of quests, especially if you're starting from ARR.
Don't you have to unlock stuff, though?
Yeah, but you'll kill everything so fast, and then the dungeons will be...
You're still looking
instant.
At a lot of time.
Yeah.
If you're going to be playing an MMO, you're going to be having to put a lot of time in it anyway.
But I'm just saying, if you can either, get it done right away for an extra $25, or you can jump right in, wait 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
I mean, and they said all the cutscenes will be available. Like I said, I understand the reasoning behind it. I just hope it doesn't, raise a bunch of bad players.
Yeah, it will.
Hopefully the mentors will step up and be like, hey, you need some help with that. I notice you are a level 60 with a butt on your head.
Calm the F down.
Right.
I played the game for 2 minutes, but I've got a level 60 character.
Woo. And I'm in Stormblood.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear what all of you guys listening on the podcast and watching us live think. Let us know, podcast@phoenixstormradio.com. You leave us a message on our website, www.phoenixdownradio.com, or on our Twitter at @PHXDNRadio. We'd love to hear from all that. If you're listening on the podcast, and if you're new, give us a like or subscribe to us on the whatever podcatcher you use. And give us a rating or a review on iTunes, on Stitcher, on whatever you're listening to. It helps people to find us, and it makes it so other people can, enjoy us as well. Share us with your friends, help us to, get out there and build our following so we can keep doing bigger, better, awesomer things for you guys. Quick shout-outs from anybody?
Nah, I'm good.
I know Chili has about a dozen.
Yay! I want to shout out to Scar and Kane for joining us and everyone that's on the stream right now. Nice to meet you all. Shout out to She Heals I Tank that should be streaming right now, I think.
Yep. I'm sorry, guys.
It was nice doing a podcast with you guys on Sunday. The shout out to, I guess, Joe Never Fails. You're an awesome guy. And Evolve Mail, aka your girlfriend's favorite streamer.
I want to thank Luna and Chili for joining me on short notice again. I apologize to Sarah. He's on his way home right now. He had work come up, but we wanted to try and cut it at an hour again, and we're a little over an hour, so that's why I'm trying to rush it down. Thank you to everybody. Thank you to the sexy dancing dragoon and stream, Axel Shock. Thank you for the follow. Thank you to everybody who's watching us live here. We got Blue Box Adam, Blue Box Madman. Sorry, I can't read today. Axel Shock, Eternal Snowflake, Faguent, Kane Thorbreaker, Lenalietta, Scarlet, Shukichis. Sorry, really bad. And Squiggle Jen. Thank you so much, everybody who's listening on the podcast. We do appreciate it. Remember, everybody, we do have an amazing show. What?
Kane says, can he shout out? What do you want to shout out?
What are you going to shout out, Kane? While you're coming up with what you want to shout out, I want to remind everybody of the huge lore spectacular coming up this Saturday at this time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 6:30 p.m. Pacific, right here on twitch.tv/PhoenixDownRadio. We are going to have Ethis Asher. We are going to have Anonymous. We are going to have our own librarian, Sarah Tomono. We're going to be talking about the fifth astral era with a little bit of fourth and fifth umbral eras thrown in for, you know, a little bit of nice stuff. Make sure to check that out. That's why we want to do this show, because we wanted to give them plenty of time to do their thing and not interrupt with their awesomeness. And shout out to She Heals I Tank for sorry for taking your spot again for the second week in a row. If that'll do it, I don't see Kane's shout out yet. I'm sorry, buddy. I'll give him just a couple seconds here. Any filler, guys? No.
Well, you can't say no, I've already done it.
No more. So, for driving home from work, Sarah Tomono, for Chili and for Luna Vox, I am Klaus Neibringer, wishing everybody a wonderful evening. Thank you again for joining us on this special, awesome, super mini cast. Shouting out Chili, Sarah, Luna, and Klaus. Thank you, Kane. We do appreciate that. Shout out back to you.
We need to praise our lava scorpion.
Praise lava scorpion. Take care.
Phoenix Down Radio is a production of PhoenixDownRadio.com and Illusion Productions. Final Fantasy XIV and Eorzea are trademarks of Square Enix. In-game content for Phoenix Down Radio is the copyright of Square Enix. Open to music for Phoenix Down Radio is provided by Guilty Gear Rocky. Check out the Metal Chocobo theme cover and many other music videos at youtube.com/GuiltyGearRocky. Closing music for this episode is provided by GuitarWanker90. Please check out their full version of Matoya's Cave and other rock video game covers at youtube.com/GuitarWanker90. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are those of Phoenix Down Radio and its hosts, and do not reflect the views of Square Enix.